And now we present your speaker, Trent Key.
I would say that if we had to describe what has happened over the past week, the word disappointment would be an understatement. We would be completely distraught. I would say that many of us were saddened, and some of us were even brought to tears with the events that had occurred this past week and our government passing the sin that has been incorporated within our very society. But yet there are some things that I want us to focus on tonight, and I want us to look at it in a very positive light. I want to remind you of a song that we often sing. It says, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. No matter what man may pass as a law in today's society, if it goes contrary to God's will, we need to understand whether it is in reference to God's will or not. God is always going to be the supreme ruler." And I think that we would all say amen to that. And we are thankful to have Him as our final judge, because He and His Son will give the final account on that final day of what we've done in this life. But there are two things of exhortation that I want to proclaim to you tonight that I believe that the Bible speaks very clearly to each and every one of us that are Christians. Number one, we need to continue to be very heavily involved in the works of evangelism. There is no better time than right now to get involved in the Lord's church and to do what is required of us in reaching out to the lost souls of this world who are very desperately needing it at this current time. But number two, that brings us to our discussion here tonight. I would like for us to focus our attention on what the Apostle Paul, by way of inspiration, was writing to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5. And that second exhortation here is that we continue to do what we do best as Christians and what is expected of us as members of the Lord's church, and that is to walk in the manner in which our God has called us to walk. You know, walking is indicated throughout the Scriptures as something that is very positive. In fact, we look at chapter 5, verse 1, where it tells us, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." As you read on down further, it tells us on in verse 8 that we are to walk as children, telling us that there is a standard, telling us that there are barriers, there is a guideline by which we must continue to walk every single day to be pleasing to the Lord. It is ironic and it's very interesting whenever we consider the context of Ephesians chapter 5 in its entire context, being that the Apostle Paul indicated that there were three ways in which the Christian ought to live his or her life on a daily basis. In other words, directions that we must walk. He begins in verses 1 through 7 by pointing out the very fact that we are to walk in the manner of love. Being imitators of Christ, he tells us that we are to walk in patterning our life after the true pattern of God's love. We are to walk in love and after the portrait that we find in concern with Jesus Christ and the love that He showed us on Calvary's cross by offering Himself as a sacrifice and a sweet-smelling aroma unto our God. But also, he tells us that as Christians, if we truly want to walk in love, we have to be the presentation of God's love continually into this lost and dying world. We sing the song, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, "They will know we are Christians by our love." That's where that song originates. "They will know we are His disciples by our love." As we continue on, the Apostle Paul, in our context tonight, encourages Christians to walk in the manner in which is that of the light. And then he goes on and concludes the rest of this chapter by walking according to that of wisdom. But let us focus our attention tonight on how to walk in the light. Let me begin by saying that there is no greater life that is offered or extended in this life than that which is lived according to the light that we find according to the Scriptures. I want you to take your Bibles here tonight and to back up with me just a few verses before we get into our first point. I want us to look at verse 6 just for a moment. He said in verse 1, "Be imitators of God." But in verse 6 he says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I want us to understand that if we are going to continue to be the sons of God, the children of God, we ought not walk in the manner in which we were once living. In fact, in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul pointed out in verses 14 and following the very fact of how the Gentiles were living. He said, you can't continue to live your life as if you had no hope. You can't continue to live your life as if you're separated and estranged from Jesus Christ, but yet you need to live in such a very positive manner. You can no longer live, in other words, according to the sons of disobedience. You can't allow yourself to live according to the perverted and wicked ways of the world. Why? The Apostle Paul pointed out in verse 6, because the wrath of God is exposed. The wrath of God is revealed whenever people do evil in this life. And not only is it revealed in this life, but it will be revealed on that final day, whenever we stand before our God on the day of judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, having to give an account for the things that we do in this body. But also, the sons of disobedience have an agenda, you might say. We have an agenda to be the sons of obedience. In other words, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us that we are to remain faithful until death and be given the crown of life by our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Samuel's account, it tells us that God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. Therefore, as sons of obedience, we do the will of the Father because we love Him, because that is the way of light. But the sons of disobedience, they expose the wrath of God and they do something else. They do what they just did this very past week in our current society. They try to over-trump or overpower the light by taking their darkness and trying to surround the light and just smother it to death. But brothers and sisters, there's one thing that I know, and the Bible tells me and it tells you very clearly that God's light cannot be covered up. Especially whenever we look to the very end. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ is the victory. That Jesus Christ has already overcome death. He's already overcome Satan's greatest enemy, and that is the sting of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 and following. And you and I can also overcome that very stingful death in which Jesus has allowed us to overcome by a life that is in Him. But we also need to understand that since we were once in darkness, we can't be sons of disobedience any longer, and nor can we allow ourselves to be partakers of their disobedience. In other words, we can't approve of the things that are taking place in the life of those that are living them. He says in verse 7, "Therefore do not be partakers with them." Don't run with their dissipation, or don't run in their wicked and evil ways any longer. In fact, it's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God." Whenever we consider the options that are before us, to walk as a son of disobedience in the darkness is certainly not a godly option. God would be displeased, and He expects the very best out of all of us that are Christians. We also need to understand of how the Apostle Paul said in verse 8 that we once were. He says, "For you were once darkness." I want to point out very clearly that the Apostle Paul did not say you were in darkness, but he said you once were darkness. Meaning that we were representing that which was separating us, the very point of what separated us from God. Whenever we participated in the evil, we were that darkness. And we were a representative of that darkness. And God certainly could never have had a relationship with that darkness. I invite you to look in 1 John chapter 1 with me just for a moment. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 5, the Apostle John says, "This is the message which we heard, which we have heard from Him, and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness." And notice the double emphasis, no darkness at all. He says there's no way that God can have any portion of darkness within Him. And how can we who are Christians allow ourselves to think that we can have darkness and still be conjoined to Him? The Apostle John says, certainly that cannot be the case. We were once darkness, but thanks be to God, we are now light in the Lord. The Apostle Paul continues to speak to the church in Ephesus, and he says, now you are Christians, and now you are representatives of the light, and you are the light, and now you are children of light. He goes on and tells us this in verse 8, but only those who are in the Lord can reach this awesome level of spiritual purity. You have to be found in the Lord to reach this level of purity. Walking does indicate that there is a standard by which we must live. You know, it's sad that we live in a society that says there is no standard of absolute truth. And the past events that have happened over the past few weeks have certainly allowed that to be relevant and allowed that to be exposed before us today. But whenever we consider what the Apostle Paul says, he says, walk as children of light. He's indicating that there is a standard that does exist for us to reflect and pattern our life after continually. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it tells us, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and nothing was made that was made. But it tells us that He went into the world, being light, and the darkness rejected Him. In fact, verse 11 tells us that the Jews rejected Him, His own people. But if you back up to verses 9 and 10, it tells us that Jesus is the true light that comes into the world. He's come for the very purpose of exposing the sins of men so that they will know how they ought to live in patterning their life after His will. The Bible tells us that we are to imitate God, and we imitate God as He is light and there's no darkness in Him, nor can there be any darkness found within us. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But brethren, we need to also understand the very fact that the standard of our living, the standard of how to walk in the light, is right here before us. It is the Bible, and I'm going to identify that by the Apostle Paul's words right here in our context. Let's read verse 9. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us that if we live a life in the light, then we are going to be fruitful and productive citizens of the kingdom of God, and will continue to be fruitful and productive citizens of the kingdom even into eternity. In other words, whenever we involve ourselves in that which is good, we are allowing ourselves to grow and mature as a Christian. You know, the same principle is true with that which is whenever we look at the outside creation. Whenever we go outside the walls of this building, there are trees, there are grass, there are flowers that are present everywhere, and I'm sure that some of you have gardens as well. What does it take for that vegetation and for the plant life to come to full maturity? It takes the light of sun to come and be exposed upon them. And it takes in like manner the light, the Son of God, to be reflected in our life every single day, so that we can come to complete fruition in maturity in God's eyes. But just as the Apostle Paul tells us that there are different levels of the fruit of the Spirit here, he wrote to the church in Galatia chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And he says, against such there is no law. He says, you can continue to do these unlimitedly, and there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to be a consequence to you, but it's going to bring so much goodness to your life. But here in this context, he tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, that which is allowing us to live a life that is in the light, that is so productive and fruitful, is that which is all goodness. This goodness is also the same that we find in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, where the Apostle Paul said that we are created in Jesus Christ. We are created as the workmanship of God in Jesus Christ for good works. That is the same level of goodness that we are to be expressing in our life. The term righteousness is indicating this very fact. The term righteousness goes on to explain that which is right in the sight of God and that which is right before mankind as well. Not necessarily that which is right in the mindset of man, but it is doing that which is right in the eyes of God and doing that which is right to fellow man in the eyes of God. So whenever we look at it, it categorizes our relationship with God and man, that which is justified and in the correct state. But yet it also goes to show us that if a man lives according to righteousness, he is conforming himself to the standard by which is opposite of falsehood. I want you to consider the very next word that he says the fruit of the Spirit is. He says it's goodness, righteousness, and truth. Brethren, what is truth? The Bible is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the only way in which we are going to be called in a very justified and righteous manner on that day is by allowing the truth of God's word to be applied to our life. And therefore, that brings us to the last portion of this point. It shows that since we are now light in the Lord, we have responsibilities upon us. We can't continue to sin. Why? Because the grace of God does not abound upon us more and more whenever we sin. But yet we've died to sin and can't live in it any longer. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we can't allow ourselves to be a part of darkness any longer, and since we want to be the fruit of God in the kingdom that He has established for us to live and abide within the church, then we must do this last point that's found here in verse 10. He says, and finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Brethren, we have a problem in today's society. And unfortunately, we have a problem in today's church from time to time where people willfully ignore the very fact that we've just read. You and I as Christians, as children of light that are to walk in the light, we have a responsibility to find out what God is pleased with. And if we hope to have life everlasting with Him, we will find out what pleases the Lord. Our current country and society certainly has not upheld that, but you and I as Christians have even more of a responsibility to find out what is acceptable to the Lord and make sure that that truth is proclaimed in our current society. All Christians' actions ought to be governed by the relationship with the Lord and what it means to find what is acceptable. It means that we are trying to learn. It means that we are proving. It means that we are discerning. It means that we are distinguishing what pleases God and even coming to a complete understanding of what His standard requires of us in this very life. I want you to open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10 just for a moment. I want to illustrate this point in three different ways that the Apostle Paul has in Colossians chapter 1. In verses 9 and 10, it tells us that it says this, filled with the knowledge, let's emphasize and underline that word, of His will in all wisdom and, here's the next word, spiritual understanding, underline and emphasize that word. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully underline the next phrase, pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that what He had just described to the church in Ephesus of how to walk in the light? The Apostle Paul says it means that we allow ourselves to become knowledgeable with the will of God first and foremost. But it is not good enough to just know what the Word of God is, but yet understand it and make application to it, and then do those things that are fully pleasing to Him that allows us to be the fruit of the kingdom in which God has established. And Paul said to the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, in this manner, he said there, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Are you convinced yet that the Bible indicates that we are to live in a manner that is acceptable to God? That there is a specific standard by which we must adhere to? Well, certainly I believe the Apostle Paul has done a very good job in allowing that to be exposed here in our context tonight. But let's move on. Now that we are light in the Lord, there are things that are required of us that we can no longer do. Certainly we can't continue to walk in darkness. We can't continue to practice evil. But yet, we are to have no fellowship with that which is of darkness. If you look in the very next verse of verse 11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. The Apostle Paul simply made the same statement that I'm going to right now. And that is, the Bible tells us that whenever we are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, we are added to the Lord's one true church, and we become a new creation, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And a part of that new creation, we need to take our new creature status of living in the light and realize that we can't patronize sin any longer. Meaning that we cannot allow our stamp of approval with our friends and our family to just continue to go on unendingly. But yet the Bible says that we must expose those things. We cannot continue ourselves to live as creatures of sin, as I quoted earlier. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Shall we continue in sin that the grace of God may abound? Certainly not. How can you who died to sin live in it any longer? But number two, we cannot approve of such practices that are sinful in the lives of other individuals. If you don't believe me, let's look at the Scripture. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. Paul is writing about the Gentiles and the innumerable sins that they were involved in. And he says in verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. And that is a true statement, and the Apostle Paul could have ended there, but inspiration of God allowed him to continue on, and it says, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Brethren, what's that saying? It's saying that we can't approve of the sins of others or remain silent whenever the sin is continuing on around us. But yet, there is an obligation upon us as Christians, because if we do not take that obligation and responsibility seriously, he says, we're just like them. We're leading to spiritual death, and we will be separated and estranged from Christ for all eternity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, whenever the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion, very similar to the term fellowship, what communion has light with darkness? Absolutely nothing. If God can't have anything to do with it, nor can we as His people have anything to do with that which is sinful and evil and dark. In fact, how do we respond? What is our action to be towards those? If we can't have fellowship, we understand that if there's a brother in Christ, there are certain steps that we take. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 5, deliver such a one over to Satan. And he said, don't even go as far to eat with that brother or sister any longer if they are going to continue to do those things. And yet, before you get to that point, there are steps that you take. You go to them, you take two or three with you if they don't listen, and then tell it to the church, and then it gets to what the Apostle Paul said. But brothers and sisters, there is a difference. What was said over in the church in Corinth, whenever he said, deliver such a one over to Satan, being that that was a brother in Christ, and what he is saying right here are those who are non-members, who are not a part of the body of Christ. And he says, how do you do so? He says in verse 11 and 12, that their works are leading to nothing. Brethren, how many of us would like to hear somebody that maybe has passed on, that has not obeyed the gospel, to hear them remark to us, why didn't you tell me I was leading to nowhere? Why didn't you tell me my works that I was doing in this life were just going to be a dead end whenever it came to spiritual living? Why do I have to suffer this? Why couldn't you have told me a little bit sooner? That's simply what the Apostle Paul says we need to do. He says, because their works are unfruitful. That is in contrast to our works. The works of Christians are fruitful, they're bright, they're of great produce. But he says that of darkness leads to nothing. They are unfruitful works. What does he say? He says, rather expose them. Brethren, I know that it's hard to confront different individuals in this life, especially whenever it is about sin. We are afraid to come and stand before somebody and to tell them that maybe the relationship that they're living, that they can't have that relationship any longer because the Lord says that's not right. Or we have a hard time speaking and confronting sin of other people because maybe we ourselves are still struggling with sin. But yet, brethren, the Bible says that we have the obligation to expose such sins and such darkness, because if we fail to do so, they will be lost on that final day. In fact, I want to read the very next portion of the verse 11. He says, but rather expose them. He says, for it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. I believe that this can be taken in two different lights. It's shameful to talk about the things that they're doing. The things they're doing behind closed doors in secret, they ought to make us blush. They ought to make us embarrassed and feel very awkward to talk about. But also, I believe that the Apostle Paul had this in mind as well. I think that what he's trying to say is that it's time for us to stop maybe talking about the sins of the world and that which is very shameful and depressing and contrary to the will of God, and that we do what he said in the end of verse 11 and expose those things before it leads to their spiritual destruction. Brethren, we have a very great responsibility before us. What are some of the things that we need to keep in mind as we listen to how we ought to walk as children of light? Whenever we expose the dark deeds of this world, we're giving the people an opportunity to see what true light is. I don't want us to look at this lesson as a very negative thing, but to be children of light is a very positive thing, a very joyous occasion. And if we hope to be successful in this life with reaching out to change the minds of those in our current society, we have to make sure that we're living as light. Why? So that whenever they see us, there's an opportunity that they may glorify God in the day of visitation before that day finally comes. There's an opportunity that they see our good works and glorify God because of those things that are being done. If we fail to serve out and reach out to these individuals, then we are doing not only ourselves an injustice of helping grow the church, but we're doing an injustice as well to those who are in need of the saving gospel. In John chapter 3, I want to read what the Gospel of John has to say about this exposing darkness. In chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, he says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, And men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth and comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Brethren, just because the Bible reveals that some people are going to hate the dark, hate the light, doesn't mean that we owe it to them. It doesn't mean that we take back our opportunity of sharing the gospel with them. It means even more so that we ought to go out to them to save them from their sins. Some will have hardness of heart, as the Bible has said, but that doesn't mean that we give up on exposing that which is darkness, because much good can be done. Who are we to judge the darkness of this world in saying that they'll never turn, whenever the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, you know, the Jews have that same mindset about the Gentiles. How can the Gentiles ever have salvation? Okay, well, if they have salvation, then let's put circumcision upon them. How can such a perverse nation have salvation, the Jews were saying? The Apostle Paul, in the light of that context, in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, said, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. Brethren, don't allow someone's work of darkness to hinder you from sharing the gospel with those people. How do we apply tonight's lesson? Number one, as children of light, we're given assurance. I want to go back and reread what was said in 1 John. We already read verse 5, where there is no darkness at all in God. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says if we walk in light, we have Jesus' blood to continually cleanse us of those wrongs. If we mess up, we can confess our sins before our God and He will be faithful and just to forgive us. But also in the light of our context, as children of light, as children of God, sons of obedience, we are given knowledge. In our context of Ephesians chapter 5, we are given knowledge first and foremost of what it means to walk in the light. In verse 9, we understand that that means to be a life of full productivity, a life that is very fruitful in the Spirit. In chapter 5 and verse 10, we gain the knowledge of what is pleasing to our Lord in searching the Scriptures daily, as Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bereans did. But also in verses 11 through 14, you and I, as children of light, we gain the knowledge of what it is to live in darkness, allowing us the proper method and means to expose the unfruitful works of those dark deeds. As we conclude our lesson, there is one more point that I'd like to make, and that is found in the very first verse of our context that we looked at tonight, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Brethren, the only way to be light, the only way that we can be a representative of the light, the only way that we can be a source of the light, is only by being in the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, goes on to expound that whenever we're baptized, we're being baptized into the death of our Lord Jesus Christ to raise up a new creation and to walk a newness of life. And I want to submit to you that whenever we enter the watery grave of baptism, we are a part of the Lord's body. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, it tells us that whenever Jesus returns, because He will, the Bible promises that, that He will deliver the kingdom of God, the church, over into the hands of the Father whenever all death has taken place on the face of this earth. Meaning that only those who are a part of the church will continue to be the light of the Lord and see the glorious light of a home in heaven. The invitation is extended through our last verse in the context tonight. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Maybe it be that there are some who are present in tonight's auditorium. You've heard the message of what it means to find what's acceptable in the sight of the Lord, to walk in love, to walk in light, and if you continue reading, to walk in wisdom. If you want to begin your path of walking in the light, it's only through the watery grave of baptism being found in the sight of our Lord and in a part of His one true body. What the apostle is saying is, arise from your state of being sleepy. Arise from just being satisfied with the state of your life as it now is. And arise yourself from that which is leading to spiritual death. Romans 6 verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Christ will give you light. If there's anybody here tonight that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation call, please respond now.